Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited. I have an incredible guest today. Her name is Kathy Guggenhauer, and she's with Expert VA. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you've heard me talk about virtual assistants, and that's what Kathy does, is she not only teaches virtual assistants how to become virtual assistants, but she's a matchmaker. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. So if you're looking for VA, she can help you find those people. So Kathy, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Brian. I love your singing voice. You are a man of so many talents.
Well, thank you. But this show is not about me. It's about you and my audience. So I want to start this thing off. I like people to get to know you and your backstory. So how did you go from creating blood snow cones to teaching virtual assistants how to help business owners not have to give blood to keep their business open?
So, this is a big stretch, you guys. But you know Brian, he can come up with a great story on anything, and he's done it again here. When I was 15, I worked in a knockoff of a Dairy Queen kind of place. And I was in charge of making snow cones. And I was pushing the ice into the ice crusher, and it wouldn't go through. So being the crazy 15-year-old I was, I pushed it with my fingers, and bloody fingers, bloody snow cones. So thank goodness I did not go into snow cone making as a career. Instead, I went into being a marketing manager for a Fortune 500 company, and I'd been working there for almost 20 years, and I hadn't been promoted in several years. So I went to my manager and said, "Hey, what's up? What do I need to do in order to get promoted?" He said, "You need to get an MBA or a master's." So I went back to college, got an MBA, took me 2 years. You guys know how hard it is to go to school and work full time, but I did it. And after I graduated from that with honors, the next person who got promoted didn't even have an undergraduate degree. So I went back to the manager and said, "Huh, what's up? Not getting promoted, even though I got my master's." And he said, "You want me to be honest with you?" Hello, I wanted you to be honest with me the first time, right? "Yes, I want honest." And he said, "You laugh and smile too much. And until you change that, you'll never go anywhere in this company." And I went back to my little cubicle and cried. And finally pulled up my big girl panties after crying a lot and decided, you know what? I'm not a good fit here. I'm going to quit. And I put a plan into place. 6 months later, I turned in my resignation. After that, I began my virtual assistant company. And I was so determined to earn twice as much as I had earned at that Fortune 500 company as a marketing manager. And not only did I accomplish that, but now, that was in 2001. And today, in 2019, I am proud to say that I have built 4 six-figure companies.
Wow, 4 six-figure companies. Good thing you quit your job.
Well, and the funny thing is, when I turned my resignation in, that same manager said, "You're making the biggest mistake of your life. You're never going to make this kind of money again." And I was making $50,000, okay? Mm-hmm. And ha-ha, I did. I made lots more.
So you started this VA company. So let's start off with the basics, because I know what it is. You know what it is. A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't understand the concept of a virtual assistant. I mean, a lot of people will think VAs and they'll think about somebody over in China, India, Philippines, right, doing work for them, but that's not necessarily what you do, right?
So a virtual assistant, yes, they are a freelancer or an independent contractor, a 1099 contractor. So that's the generic, like, legal definition. But what a virtual assistant can actually do for your company is help you grow And you might be like, a virtual assistant can help me grow my company? Yes. And they can do that in a couple of different ways. They can do it by taking things off your plate so your time is freed up, so that you have more time to spend on profit generating things. They can also do it by being proactive and helping you come up with ways to save money. And I'm going to give you an example of each of these things in just a second. And a third way they can do it is they can help you generate more profit by doing things like coming up with ideas on additional products you can sell, and by actually helping you, for example, if you're a speaker, they can help you get speaking gigs.
So yeah, I mean, I use VAs for all of those things. And I think here's kind of the secret sauce to this whole thing. What I always tell people is work to your strengths, hire to your weaknesses. Whatever you're really good at, do it. Whatever you're not really good at, Captain Typo, all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever you can get somebody else to do that allows you to be able to be more productive and make more money, do it. So let's give some examples of skill sets, you know, like web pages or writing or blogging or photography or whatever. What are some of the things that your VAs do for your clients or their clients?
So you're absolutely right. All of the above. So I'm going to use myself as an example because I know what all I hire a VA to do. And by the way, Brian, I absolutely do hire for what I do, what you said. Hire for my weaknesses and, you know, do the things that I'm good at and the things that I love. You know, Brian, you're good at like everything, as we've already mentioned here once, but I'll mention it again. And so if you're good at a lot of things, which many, many entrepreneurs are, you might think, but I'm good at all these things, so I have to do them. Well, which ones do you really enjoy and which ones do you really have to do? And that will help you even further narrow it. But let me give you some examples. I am not a techie person. Brian, you know this about me. I have never been a techie person. I am a marketer. I am a writer. I am not techie. So I hire out all my techie work. So for example, I use the system Kajabi to run my website, my everything. So I have a VA who specializes in Kajabi, and she does everything for me on Kajabi. Now, as I just said, I'm a writer. That is actually what I did as a VA. I was a blogger for real estate agents, but I no longer have time to do it for myself. And that isn't a direct thing I need to do. That's something I can hire out. So I have another virtual assistant who does all of my blogging for me. I also have a bookkeeper. I have a VA who specializes in bookkeeping. She does all of my bookkeeping for me. And I could go on and on, but are those three good examples?
Yeah, those are perfect examples. So I want to expound on that a little bit. So for example, you know, because you brought up something like Kajabi, which some people don't know. But, you know, so you can find somebody who understands WordPress or understands Joomla or understands HTML. You could find somebody who specifically knows Excel spreadsheets, or maybe they work on a Macintosh and they're better with numbers spreadsheets because you're on a Mac. You can find somebody to do something that specific, because I have some that help me with what I consider to be, you know, repetitive tasks, data entry and things of that nature. And then I also have one that knows how to use AWeber and can set up my email broadcasts. And I'm teaching her, I'm actually training my VA how to use a new tool I'm using called 366. And so once I get her trained on that, she not only can do it for me, but then she can also do it for my customers, which is where one of the things that I think is one of the hidden gold nuggets in all of this, right?
There's many golden nuggets to virtual assistants that most people are never even going to discover until they start working with one. And I love what you're saying there. So for example, Infusionsoft, which is so confusing, it's nicknamed Confusionsoft, right? there are VAs who specialize in it and they know it so in depth that they can make it work for you. They can make it work with your WordPress site, whatever you need done. Like Kajabi that I use, it is so all-encompassing. There's so much it can do. And my VA knows how to make it all work and work together with other stuff because that's all she does. She dove deep into that. And like Brian, you're saying, when VAs specialize in something like that, they work with multiple clients using that same software. They become incredibly good at it. and incredibly fast at it. Something that would take me 5 hours to do might take my VA 15 minutes to do.
And that's where I think the major bonus is. Not only do you get it done faster, but it opens you up to be able to do more. So, you know, VAs, like anything else, you know, you can buy a Volkswagen or you can buy a Lamborghini. Somebody who's going to do data entry, I'm guessing, is probably going to be more affordable than somebody who's working in Confusionsoft, which I love when you said that because it's exactly what I call it, because it is more complex. So kind of talk through that and why sometimes it makes sense to have multiple VAs to do this.
Yeah. And Brian, you know me, I'm all about multiple VAs because you really do want people to specialize. Okay. Because when they specialize, just like we're talking about, they know things that you don't know that you don't need to know in order to make your business work better to save you money. So my rule of thumb is when you are hiring for ongoing work, which, by the way, I highly recommend hiring a virtual assistant that you're going to work with long term, because they get to know you, your likes and dislikes, they get to know your brand, and they are going to be better able to help you save money and make money. So what you're looking for as far as a budget, if you're looking for a North America-based VA or a VA out of Australia or Europe, any of the English-speaking countries, if you want somebody who's going to be a general admin VA, you want to pay it $25 to $30 an hour on the average to get somebody that's actually good at what they do. If you pay somebody $15 or less and they are located in one of those countries, they cannot make a living as a virtual assistant. And what will happen is they will not stay with you very long because they're going to have to go get a job. Okay. They will shut down their VA business or raise the rates. Okay. If they don't do either one of those things, it's because they're not very good and they'll end up costing you time and frustration. Then for the areas of specialization, I recommend the lowest pay to somebody who's really specializing in any of those things we talked about, $35 an hour, if they're newer to it, okay? If they're an expert at it, $45 an hour and up. The going rate right now for Infusionsoft, certified Infusionsoft, or people who are excellent, VAs who are excellent at Infusionsoft, is $75 an hour.
Yeah, so even at $75 an hour, it's really affordable, comparatively speaking, because in the web world, you know, a good programmer is $100 to $250 an hour. So even at that, it's still more cost effective than a lot of other options that are out there. And like you said, they're knowledgeable, they're faster, and they're going to be able to make you more productive in the long run.
Well, I have something that I would like to add to that.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. People who have not worked with virtual assistants before, they have the mindset of working with an employee or working with a part-time employee. And then they think about like 20 to 40 hours a week. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about on an as-needed basis. And I always look at a monthly number of hours. So for example, most of my VAs only work 20 hours a month or less for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're looking at a very different number of hours at that hourly rate. And if you look at it that way and you think about and you do the numbers, you're going to see that even at $45 an hour, you're going to save money as compared to having an employee that you have to pay $20 to $40 an hour and have them 20 hours a week, even part-time. You're still going to save money.
Yeah. So kind of to build it back up, a lot of people are misconstruing what happens overseas because you can go on Fiverr, which is, you know, the normal thing. You go on Fiverr, you can find somebody for $5 an hour to do something. There's two challenges with using overseas people. I have nothing against them personally, but number one, there's a language barrier. And number two, there's a time difference. So in other words, while you're working, they're sleeping and vice versa.
And let me make another point on the overseas. Their work ethic is very different than US and North America based. Their work ethic is they're yes people. They're taught to be kind, generous, never ever do anything without permission, and always just yes, yes, yes. So what that equates to for us here in the US is you have to tell them exactly what to do, exactly when to do it. And if they have an idea of their own that they want to share with you, they're not going to because they were taught that is not polite.
Right. So there's a cultural difference, which is the biggest thing too. That's one misconstrued. And then the other thing too is I don't want people to go down the other road of I'm going to hire a virtual assistant for an hour and get this thing done and move on. Because that's not the way to work with one either. You generally speaking want to do, like you said, repetitive tasks. They usually like to know because they're, here's the thing, people, they're virtual assistants running a business, just like you're running a business. So they need to know that they can count on X amount of time, X amount of dollars a month, because if you come in 1 month and do 1 hour and next month doing 40 hours, then they have to take other clients and push them aside. And next hour you come back with one and they don't have any other clients. So they're trying to build some consistency in there too. Is that part of the deal?
Brian, it is. Now I can tell you that how I prefer to work with a VA is what I call a cap in a month, in any month. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it gives me leniency with my budget, but also allows me to know that that VA is going to be available to me as needed, and it lets that VA know. So let me give you an example. I mentioned 20 hours a month is about what I use most of my VAs for. That is my cap, okay? So the VA and I have a contract that she can work as many hours as she needs to get the work done for me up to 20 hours in a month. When she gets close to that 20 hours, she emails me and says, here's what I still have left to do for you this month. Would you like for me to continue? Here's about how long it's going to take me. Or would you like for me to push that to next month? So it gives me that flexibility to get it done if I have the money to get it done and I need to get it done, or to say no if I need to stick to my budget.
Okay, so to kind of wrap this thing up, what are some of the key things? Now, say I'm thinking about this. People say, yeah, I'm looking for a VA. Can you just send me recommendations? And you know, you can go to Hire My Mom. You can go online. You can find all those other things. When you're matchmaking with somebody, what are some of the key questions you ask? And what is some of the best advice you can give somebody when they're trying to figure out what a VA can do for them and what it is that they really need to think about before engaging a VA?
So when I have a VA matchmaking session with someone, the first thing I want to find out from them is what they are thinking they might like to have a VA do. And notice that I said thinking about that they might like to have a VA do, because I take notes and I know which things are going to be better for them to give to a VA to do versus not have the VA do yet. So I write up everything out that they're thinking about, and then I ask a series of questions to find out more. For example, what are your goals? What's keeping you from achieving those goals that a VA might be able to help you with? And that's when I usually find out additional things that would really be good for VAs to do, because the person I'm talking to has not realized that a VA could do that. So for example, they might say, well, I spend a whole lot of time writing. Or I spend a whole lot of time getting people whose credit cards aren't going through to make those payments. And I say, huh, those are both things that a VA could take over for you and handle on a recurring basis. And then the light bulb goes off and they're like, you're kidding me, a VA could do that? Yes. So after I get that whole list, and people could do this on their own, write out the whole list of everything that you're thinking about that you might want a VA to do, then go back and write out a list of those things that are filling up your time, okay, that you're doing over and over again. Write those down. You might even want to just keep track of what you do for an entire week so that you have that list. Then look at that list and say, which of these are something that I would really love to get off my plate and that are my highest priority to achieve right now? Now, for me, my highest priority is always making money. So what are the tasks that I need to have done in order for me to make more money now? And that's going to be my top priority always.
And that totally makes sense. So somebody comes to you for a matchmaking service. I'm sure it costs them thousands of dollars to get your expert advice into finding the right VA. Is that correct?
No. It's zero. I do it for free.
And you do that because you're training the VAs and that's part of the service that you provide them.
That's exactly right.
See, and I love that. That's fantastic. The last point that I want to make about this is I don't want people to think that using a virtual assistant replaces the need for other stuff. So, for example, because somebody understands WordPress does not make them a web development expert. They may know how to use the software and the plugins and stuff like that, but they may not be a content developer. They may not understand SEO. They may not understand Google AdWords or Facebook ads because they work on a website, right? So tell me about managing expectations when you start to develop these relationships.
So one of the things that you want to be sure to do is to have a conversation with the VA about what they specialize in, what they enjoy doing versus what they do not do and do not enjoy doing. Because you don't want to work with a VA who doesn't enjoy what they're doing. If you have, here's a big red flag. If you talk with a VA who says they can do everything, do not hire that VA because they do not know what they don't know. They want your business and they're willing to tell you whatever they have to tell you in order to get a yes.
So, Kathy, this has been, you know, just a great explanation about what a virtual assistant is, what they can do, and I am certain that some of my peeps are going to want to get a hold of you to do a matchmaking service and kind of start this process, because if you're not using a VA, people, let me tell you, it is, everybody asks me, Brian, do you sleep? Because they see me on social media, they see me speaking, they hear my podcast, I've got a flash brief on Alexa, I've got blogs, I've got all of this stuff going on. And that's because of VAs. They actually give me the time to do everything that I need to do. So what's the first step? How can people get a hold of you? What's the best way for them to do that?
So the easiest way for people to get a hold of me is just email me. It's Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y, at expertvatraining.com. I'm also on Facebook. Just look for Kathy Guggenauer, G-O-U-G-H-E-N-O-U-R, and you can PM me there. Or you can go to my website, expertvatraining.com, and click on Find a VA, and there you will have multiple ways to connect with me. And you can even view VAs right there and check out some of the VAs that have gone through my program.
Outstanding. So the biggest thing I could say about this is you've really explained how virtual assistants not only save you time, but take away tasks that you don't want to do. And Kathy, I just think that this is just an incredible way, especially in today's economy, to be able to run a business. So what's the final thought about, you know, using VAs that you'd like to lead people with?
Using a VA sooner than you think you need one. As soon as you think, I wonder if I need a VA, you need a VA. Don't wait until you're desperate, because then you'll get stressed out. You literally will make more money and enjoy your work and your life better when you delegate work to a VA.
I love it. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today. And you have dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I'm sure they're going to want to find you. And so, peeps, make sure you connect up with Kathy at expertvatraining.com. And thank you again so much for coming and joining us today.
Thank you, Brian. It has been a blast as always.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.